Oh man, that was that squeaking noise me? Did you hear that?
I don't know. I did not hear
I
that.
sounded like a door squeaking open.
You're like, That was good.
Anyway,
that was good.
Not good for podcasts. Hello. Welcome to Do We Still Dig This? I'm Georgia Goh.
And I'm Grace Wilbur. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, I am I'm a wine and a half in. So it's going to be loosey-goosey over here. We're going to have a loosey-goosey little pod.
Yeah, I feel like we should say this is our first episode we're recording whilst drinking. So this is going to be a first for us. We're going to see how this goes.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I might have had White Claws in past episodes or during past episodes, and I just didn't talk about it. But wine is kind of hard to hide. I'm an alcoholic, is what I'm saying.
We're just actively drinking now.
Yeah, we're just we decided on the activity.
Yeah.
So anyway, what are we talking about this time?
Today, we're talking about Keen, the band. Not the college.
Is that a college? Is it a college?
Yeah. It's a college in New Jersey. Keene University.
Oh, I yeah. never knew that.
I don't think it's spelled. It's not spelled the same way, though. So, tight. Yes, but the band Keene, of Somewhere Only We Know fame. I think everybody remembers Somewhere Only We Know.
Yeah,
it was pretty iconic. I think it's like their top song on Spotify.
Yeah, that's literally the only song that Tucker knew when I was listening to Keen right before this.
Really?
He was like, yeah, this is the only song that I really know from them.
Interesting.
Which I think is true. I think a lot of people don't know very many Keen songs.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they were definitely, I mean, they had a moment. For sure. Definitely when Hopes and Fears came out, when you go to Spotify, like everybody's changing and this is the last time. Like, I feel like those are ones that people might vaguely know. Maybe not.
Maybe yeah. Not, is it any wonder? I think is the next maybe biggest one. It was like Somewhere Only We Know. And then Is It Any Wonder was the next like hit off that album.
Oh, well, that's from the next album.
Is it?
Yeah. And it's not even in their top five on Spotify.
Oh, it's that under the Iron Sea. You're right.
Yeah, that one's under the Iron Sea.
Maybe I just listened to that a lot.
I was going to say Under the Iron Sea was definitely their album that I personally listened to the most. Like Hopes and Fears, I think I was already past that by the time I got into them. And Under the Iron Sea was just like totally my shit back in the day.
Yeah, Perfect Symmetry was my favorite.
Perfect Symmetry slaps. It slaps.
Perfect Symmetry is a great album still to this day. Would listen anytime. Mm-hmm. So many of my Keen was my favorite band for a long time. You know. Through most of my college career, I would say that Keen was one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Although I've never seen them live. Have you ever seen them live?
No. But I'm not a person who goes to many concerts. Yeah, I wonder what they're like live. I bet they're really good.
I remember once I was living down, literally down the street from this concert venue called The Vic in Chicago. Which is a big venue that a lot of, you know, a lot of artists go through. Not a big venue. It's like a medium sized venue, I would say. But it's a lot of big artists play there. And I passed it when I was going to the train one day. And Keen was the band that was playing at the Vic. And I was like, well, fuck me. Like, if I would have known. But it's like,
yeah,
I don't. I'm also not like a huge crowd person. So
yeah.
I'll go to concerts if somebody is like, hey, do you want to go to this concert with me? But not enough of the people that I was around were into Keen for me to know that like Keen was playing literally down the block from where I live, you know?
Yeah. I think they still tour now. I mean, obviously not now because of COVID, but I think that they are back together and touring. And I went on their Spotify page to kind of re-listen to some stuff earlier this week. And when I was reading their little like about thing, it said that they had broken up in like 2013 or whenever it was. And they kind of went on to like do some solo stuff. Like each of them were like doing some little project. And right around like 2019, maybe one of the guys, he was doing solo stuff. And then two of the other guys heard it and they were like, wow. And they vibed with it so hard that they got back together because they were like, this is just, they were like, wow, like, yeah, we need to make music together again. Like, and I was like, that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I was like, that is the most beautiful story I've ever read in my life. And I now believe in love.
Yeah. I mean, which is like one of their songs. Is it any wonder? One of the lyrics is love is just a lyric in a children's rhyme, which they disproved. They disproved. They love each other. And this is canon.
Yeah. 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 That really got to me. I was like, wow, love is real.
Yeah, I think there was a singer that was like their main lead vocalist early on, and then he left, and then Tom Chaplin took over as the lead vocalist, and that's when Keane had its moment, you know? Which must feel like, I mean, imagine, like, you leave a band, and then the band becomes popular. It's just like, was I the issue? Was I the problem?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would constantly be self-conscious.
Yeah, like you're the fifth Beatle, and then like 8 days a week comes out and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, Pete Best was the drummer before Ringo, and then the Beatles became the Beatles. Like,
I mean, but fuck, where would we be without Octopus's Garden?
We would be nowhere without Octopus's Garden.
As a society, we would be nowhere.
Yeah, we would have stalled out. It would have been the end for us. Octopus's Garden kept us going, kept us all going, and we all know it.
It really did. It really did. But yeah, I feel like we should also say that Keane, I think it was Everybody's Changing, was on the soundtrack for Scrubs. It was in an episode of Scrubs. So tie-in to our last episode, just proving that we are talking about stuff in the same time period.
Yes, we are talking about stuff in the same time period. Also, I feel like you introduced me to Keane, but how did you find Keane? Was it through Scrubs?
That is a great question, and I do not remember. It may have been. There was a lot of music I found through Scrubs that I don't listen to anymore, but during that time, I was listening to a lot. It like really vibed with my music tastes, I guess. So maybe I found it through Scrubs. And I mean, Somewhere Only We Know was a pretty popular song.
It was very popular.
It touched on that whole emo phase.
Yeah, it was like I feel like Keane became popular. Like it was like out of emo into alternative rock, you know, like it was like a good bridge between, because all the songs are kind of like melancholy. It's a little bit sad, you know, it's not like
so sad.
So sad. It's not like, but it's not like, nothing is joyous in these songs.
Well, I don't know, because some of them are, and I want to talk about this more, but like, I had a like brief moment where I was like, is this religious music? Like, is this a religious band? I know that they're not, but a lot of their stuff is so like ethereal and like,
yeah,
sweeping, and the way his voice is, and like a lot of it sounds like Jesus music.
It does kind of sound Jesus-y, but I think that they are affected by religion, as are a lot of people, you know, a lot of like,
well, they're our a British generation band.
Older. They are British. So our Beatles metaphor was even more apt. I think like a lot of bands, especially in, because they're older than we are, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people in that generation were really grappling with with religion and whether or not to be to continue to be religious or follow the religion of their parents. Whereas I feel like a lot of our generation don't really grapple with that anymore. You know, like a lot of our generation are just like, yeah, fuck that entirely.
I think, too, I mean, the church still has a lot more control over in the UK. And I don't necessarily mean control like power, but like culturally, it still has a really big hand. Whereas like here, we have a much more complicated relationship with the church because...
Yeah, you know. You're either really in or you're really out, you know?
Like, no, I mean, I don't know. I know some normal people, so I won't, like, diss it. But, I mean, I'm not religious myself. But, yeah, we definitely, I think in America, we have, you're right in that we have a much more polarized view of it in general, where it's just like, you're crazy or you're not. And I think over in the UK and, like, I know Ireland, like, church is so much more like religion, especially Catholicism, is like so much more ingrained in the culture. And you know, over here it's like Protestant. You're like, it's like a little bit more chill, it's a little bit more low-key. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
It depends. I mean, what I think that has to do with a lot of how we ended up being America, you know, is that, like, you know, people were forced out of England and other places in Europe because they didn't want to either follow the Protestant church or the Catholic church. You know, there were a lot of, like, Quakers were a big, you know, of the people that landed in America were like a big constituent. What is it, Calvinists there were a lot of Calvinists.
Puritans, yeah.
I've always thought this about us as a country with our weird views on sexuality. You know, we're a lot more puritanical than a lot of other European countries. And I think it is because we were founded by Puritans. We were founded by people who are just like, you show an ankle, you're going to hell, you know, like, you have sex before marriage, forget it, you know,
No, I could go on and on about how puritanical our culture still is, for sure.
It's so wild.
It is. It really so is.
Stupid.
I mean, I think in general, like, because we have so many different religions here and because we have, you know, we're all quote unquote land of the free, like, there's a lot more ways to express your religion here. I think that's also why we have a more complicated relationship with it. And so, yeah, so I think Keane being from the UK and, like you said, being of an older generation, they definitely are, you know, you can see the religious themes. And when I tell you I had a small crisis, I mean, I literally went on like a deep Google dive for like a while. I was just like, are they religious?
There is no golden day. There is no heaven waiting for you. That reads to me as they aren't religious. You know, like it reads to me as like a condemnation of people who want to believe in this like golden era of like, oh, it's like the debates that we're having in America where it's like there is a significant portion of the population that believes that life was better back when men were men and women stayed home and like whatever the fuck, you know, like everyone went to church and bloody blah, and no one was gay, which was never the case. It was never the case that no one was gay.
Remember when no one was gay and or of color?
And no one was gay and or of color.
Remember when those people just didn't exist?
You didn't time. Have to see them. Good they didn't time. Exist except to serve you, you know, like, which is just like a fucked up, you know, it's such an angering, fucked up, like, viewpoint, obviously, and wrong, because there were always gay people. I mean, it's like what we learn in history class, right? It's just like, we learn all about this, like, white history. And there's so much of like so much history that I've learned outside of school. Like, I remember learning about the counterculture movement in the 60s and barely, like, we don't learn about Fred Hampton in school. And we should. You know, we should learn about Fred Hampton. We should learn about Malcolm X. We never do. It's like Martin Luther King. We learn about like the whitewash.
You didn't learn about Malcolm X? King.
No, not really.
Really? That's crazy.
I think he was mentioned as a radical. And that's about it. Back to Keane. Uh-huh. So I listened to I kind of listened to a bunch of different part. Like I listened to a lot of their like discography.
Yeah.
Not all the way through, but in bits and pieces. I listened to like part of their newest album, which is from 2019, Cause and Effect, which it vibed, you know, it was very much along the same lines of what they've done before. And I did enjoy it.
It was a little bit more mellow. I felt like it kind of had a little bit more, I don't know, like chill vibes to it than some of their other stuff, because a lot of their like earlier stuff, even though it is more on the sadder, I'm using air quotes, side, it's still very like sweeping and grand, and there's a lot
grandiose.
Of like, there's like overtures and a lot of piano, and which is great, which really like defined their sound at that point, I think. But yeah, Cause and Effect to me seemed a little bit more on the mellow side, which I kind of liked. I was like, cool. You guys have kind of like found this like this mellow point. I think the one I was listening to was Stupid Things, maybe the song. And I was like, yeah, I vibe with this.
I vibed with it, too. I also listened to, I mean, Somewhere Only We Know is like a classic, so I re-listened. I have like a few of my favorite songs from Keane.
Yeah.
I mean, like most of Perfect Symmetry, like Spiraling, Better Than This, you know, The Lovers Are Losing. There's a lot that I really love on that album. Perfect Symmetry.
Yeah.
There's a lot that I love on that album. And the fact that, like, it's not their most popular album.
Pretend That You're Alone.
Yes. Yeah. Great song. And that, like, it really did. It got me through a lot. Like, I was very, you know, I moved to Chicago when I was 18 and to go to college and didn't know anyone. And it was
the way
just,
you
like,
said that was like, I was on the streets.
I was on the streets. No, I was living in a very nice dorm.
Like, you went to a prestigious art college.
I don't know about prestigious. I don't know if we can call it prestigious.
Well, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean.
I went to an art college for sure.
Okay, but like it's a good one. It's a good college.
Yeah, it was a good college. But I went to, you know, Columbia College Chicago, not Columbia University in New York. Columbia College Chicago, the objectively worse Columbia.
I don't think so.
But I was, you know, I moved here and I didn't, you know, I didn't know anyone. And it was scary. It was exciting, but it was scary. And I listened to this album was very comforting. And I remember listening to this album a lot. It was one of those things that I would play while I was falling asleep because it was just a very comforting album for me.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first half of Perfect Symmetry is like very, because it was like before I fell asleep, you know, it's like the first five or six songs are all very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And then I have I don't know about you, but I have a sleeper song that I really enjoy that I don't think anyone knows about. Not anyone, but I don't think many people remember of their discography.
Well, apparently nobody remembers anything.
No one remembers anything other than Somewhere Only We Know. But Hamburg Song off of Hopes and Fears is my sleeper choice.
No,
of
that's
their,
under
of
that's also
songs.
Under the Iron Sea.
Is it Under the Iron Sea? I thought it was Hopes and Fears. It is Under the Iron Sea. You're right.
I love Hamburg Song.
It's a great song. It's very, I love the simplicity of it. There's like this kind of like accordion sound to it. There's a lot of piano that comes in and swells.
Yeah.
And this line that I wrote down, I very much relate to, as I give much more than I'd ever ask for, which is a line that's repeated in the song. And I feel that way in a lot of my friendships, is that I feel like I'm coming out to a good point now where I don't accept that kind of behavior anymore. But I feel like for a long time, I was the kind of person that didn't really think that I deserved love. You know, like I had a hard time loving myself. I had a hard time accepting love from others. And so I would just throw myself at the wall, you know, with people, because I didn't have enough respect for myself, you know? And so, like, I would give so much of myself and so much of my time without getting anything in return.
Yeah. No, there was a period of time where I think you just also had, like, bad luck with friends, where you just had a couple of friends in a row that were really shitty.
Really shitty friends. I had really shitty friends for a while.
And I would be like, Georgia, you gotta stop. Like, these people are the worst, and I hate them.
True. That is very true.
Yeah. I feel you on Hamburg Song for sure. That was definitely one that I, like, in my more emo moments, listen to and just be like, yeah, this is me. This is it. This is the moment, you know. But so, like, so much of their music, like, genuinely gives me chills. And I think it's, like, it's the sweepingness of it. And I have to say, I think as far as, like, this influencing me and my music taste now, because Keen is not something that I listen to now actively, but, like, I still love when music is sweeping like that. Like, I love when music is theatrical and narrative and, like, fantastical almost. They have a lot of themes running through that are very fantasy. I think my sleeper song, I have to say, is The Frog Prince.
The Frog Prince is great.
Yeah. And that one is, like, almost completely based around, like, fairy tales and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think a lot of their, like, those sort of themes of them has, like, carried on to my music taste today.
Yeah, I would agree. And in that vein, do you think that Keen holds up?
So I think it does. I really don't know how to answer this. I was, like, thinking about it while I was listening to, you know, some of their stuff. And I was just like, I don't really know how to answer this necessarily, because I feel like what we've done the past couple of episodes is, like, does this hold up has just turned into, like, what's problematic about this?
Yeah, it has turned into what's problematic. I think that's it's an interesting thing to ask about music, because, like, music is kind of a thing that's, I feel like there's things that define an era, right? Like, yeah. I'll never not hear Cyndi Lauper and think of big hair in the 80s. You know right. what I mean? Like, Cyndi Lauper is, like, forever with that time. The yeah. Beatles is, like, 60s mod vibe. You yeah. know, it's like there are certain things that I hear that recall a certain vibe. But it's like, I feel like music can be, it just is music is so emotional that I don't think it's tied. It is tied to an era, but I don't think that it ever goes necessarily out of style. You know, like, even the most wild things, like NSYNC, for instance, you know, like that kind of vibe, early Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, like, there is, like, a tinny, like, a mechanical, you know, auto-tune quality to that that will never come back, you know, like, it's just hopefully. Like, that is, like, it's so definitive of an era, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, late 90s, early 2000s, here we come. Like, that is an era, that is a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That is just, like, not, it's never gonna come back in modern music, I don't think, because it's just like it just is a weird sound.
Yeah.
At the same time, are there times when I will absolutely bump NSYNC? 100%. Like, there is a feeling involved in that I think is, it doesn't really, you know, there's a feeling involved in everything. Music is so emotional. It's so tied to emotion that I think if you vibe with it, it doesn't matter what era it's from.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and there are some problematic songs, of course. Like, there are some, you know, like Brown Eyed Girl, you know, great song. I mean, I think the original lyrics were round-eyed girl or something like that.
Oh, really? No, I've always heard it was brown-skinned girl.
Or brown-skinned girl. Or yeah. Yeah, it's problematic. Not great. Very not. There are things like that where it's just like sometimes a song will come up and they'll say something very problematic, and I'm like, whoop.
Yeah.
Never realized that was in the song.
Yeah.
And I think in Sweet Home Alabama, whoever the singer is, I forget who it is, because I'm bad at music, even though I did a whole music podcast. It's Leonard Skinner. Maybe it's not Sweet Home Alabama, but anyway, It's Leonard Cohen.
What if Leonard Cohen did a cover of Sweet Home
Alabama? That would be a thing that happened.
That I would be listen a to that thing. Although, is he dead?
He definitely is dead.
Okay, great.
I think. Who knows? I don't know anything. And take from this podcast that I know nothing. But anyway, there's like, I don't know if it's, it might not be Sweet Home Alabama, but there's a line in a whatever song that's like, I don't care about Watergate, do you? Like, it's like, I don't give a shit about Watergate, do you? Mm-hmm. I remember singing it for karaoke and being like, yeah, man, you should care about Watergate. You absolutely should care about Watergate. That was corruption. That was fucked up, man. Like,
that's really funny.
Yeah, I was just like, this was in a song. That didn't age well.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's things like that. But at the same time, I feel like most music is so personal, you know, that it does vibe, you know, mm-hmm. throughout history, throughout time.
Yeah. Leonard Cohen died in 2016. So sorry.
I thought he was dead and I knew he was dead. And sometimes I do know things.
I totally agree. And I feel like in terms of Keen, like, and this could be said for a lot of music, like, you know, sort of like what you were talking about, Britney Spears and NSYNC and all that, like, does it hold up as far as like modern sound? No. But is it still good? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, it still is really good. And I do think Keen was on the more alternative route, you know, as far as early 2000s, mid 2000s music went. But yeah, I feel like Keen was sort of more on that alternative route as far as mid 2000s music goes. Yeah, I don't know. I think that they do still hold up as far as being quality music that maybe was more quote unquote progressive for its time, but like their sound is still pretty amazing. You know, it's still kind of unlike a lot of other things that I've heard. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there was definitely in the time that they were, there was definitely like The Fray and like other things like that, which was a religious band.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they really hold their own. And like I said, their album that came out in 2019, I thought it was good, so.
I agree. I think it does still hold up. It does very much give me the Fray vibes. The Fray has a similar sound.
Yeah.
But I think Keen is a better band. And
100%.
Yeah. A way better band.
The thing is, if you're looking at the Fray versus Keen, like, the Fray had that whole, like, very quintessential mid-2000s pop punk band.
Whiny voice?
Yes, where they went I'm begging you to be this kid. Like, that was that. And the guy, what's his name from Keen? Tom something?
Tom Chaplin, who looks like a hobbit.
Does he?
He really looks like a hobbit.
That's so nice of you.
It's not cute, but he does look like a hobbit. Google him right now and tell me he does not look like a hobbit. That beautiful voice comes out of a man that looks like a hobbit.
Wait,
it's true.
Which one is he? Okay,
hold on. Tom Chaplin.
What? Georgia.
He looks like a hobbit.
He looks like a normal person.
He looks like a hobbit.
Yeah, he does have like elfin facial features. Like, yeah.
Tell me you couldn't see him in the Shire. Tell me you wouldn't see him at a pub in the Shire.
I mean, I think all British people just look like that, though.
I don't know. I think he specifically looks like a hobbit. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that he looks like a hobbit.
That's really funny.
And he would not expect a beautiful voice to come from that mouth.
I'll give you that for sure. I'll give you that. He does not look like you would imagine the person singing to look like, for sure.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that was one of the quintessential things actually that defined their sound, like in all seriousness, like was his voice. He really has some amazing vocal performances that were beyond the time and still like are unmatched, I think.
Yeah. And it unmatched. Unmatched by anyone on the scene.
Listen, I'm getting really passionate about Kane now. I don't mean unmatched as in vocal talent. I mean as in the general sound of like what he
would win Masked Singer is what we're saying.
I would love to see him on Masked Singer. I've never seen an episode of that show, but yeah, I feel like truly like that being part of their sound was really, really part of what set them apart and still what does.
So do you think that Kane influenced culture at all or if so, how so? Do you think that they have any sort of lasting effect on music, on the music scene?
I mean, yeah. They definitely, like, that whole piano thing, because that was, like, their main sound on Hopes and Fears was their piano. And I think that that influenced a lot of people at the time. You could probably, if you really, went back and, like, traced it into modern times, like, I feel like you could hear influences. You know, don't ask me specifics, but... I definitely think that there was a big influence on that and that they were sort of one of the first to do that. I had read on their Wikipedia page, I think, that they were really influenced by like U2 and Coldplay, which makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if they were necessarily have a lasting effect on culture like that. I think that they were definitely a product of their time, you know, like that was the sound of alternative music back then. And I haven't done enough research to know whether or not that sound originated from them. I think they were very much part of this, you know, this vibe, this sound that was happening in alternative rock that was moving towards a more like softer, more piano-y kind of place. Yeah. And they were part of that. So I think yes, you know, and I think no. I think yes and yes and no as like, do they have a lasting impact? Because, again, they weren't really popular beyond Somewhere Only We Know, you know? So it's like, I think they were more of I feel like a lot of people would classify them as a one hit wonder, even though they have like an amazing discography. But most people don't know them beyond that song. So I don't know. I feel like their cultural impact is more personal to me, you know, is more like, am I impacted by their music? Absolutely. But I don't know that it's had a major cultural impact. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know about a major one, you know, but I also don't like the thing about music is that it can have more of an effect than people realize on a genre. Yeah. Even like, you know, even though, yes, I guess you could technically classify them as a one hit wonder because Somewhere Only We Know may be the only song that a lot of people know. But if you're in that, especially if you're in that alternative genre, I think that there's a lot more subtle influences that go on and affect, like, you know, sort of have a domino effect on a lot of other up and coming like artists and that sort of stuff. And I feel like I just have a feeling that like if you really did a deep dive on research, like I just feel like Keane is quality enough that they probably influenced a lot of artists that came after them, even if we maybe don't realize it, because you know you don't have to be a huge popular artist to go on and influence music as a whole.
You know, look at, we talked about Invader Zim and like Rebecca Sugar.
Right.
Was deeply affected by Invader Zim. And she's gone on to be more, way more, you know, popular than Invader Zim ever was. So yeah, I mean, I would say that you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that brings us to the final question, penultimate means second to last, the ultimate question. do we still dig this?
Yeah, I gotta say yes. I mean, like I said, I don't listen to it now actively, but there's definitely a couple of songs that are like on some playlists I have in Spotify, and they'll come up occasionally and I'm like, huh, this song. And when I re-listened to it, I was like, this is great. I mean, honestly, my re-listening journey was basically like, I was like, okay, I'll listen to Hopes and Fears first, right? And I listened to like a couple. I was like, oh, this is way too sad. Like, this is way too emo. Then I went over to Perfect Symmetry and I was like, oh, this slaps. I forgot. This really slaps.
Perfect Symmetry slaps.
Really does.
I think if you take anything from this podcast, it's that Perfect Symmetry is an absolute banger of an album. And yeah. You should absolutely, if you've never listened to Perfect Symmetry, I mean, Better Than This is like a song that I listen to over and over again. I love Better Than This. Mm-hmm. Spiraling is a great song. There are so many good songs off that album.
Yeah.
And it's a lesser known album of theirs. You know, it came out before Hopes and Fears. Did it come out after? I'm wrong. As I often am.
Yeah, Hopes and Fears was their first one.
Oh, right. Hopes and Fears was 2004. Perfect Symmetry was 2008. Anyway, so it came out after Hopes and Fears. I'm good at things.
Yeah. No, you're very, very knowledgeable about many.
That's not true.
It is.
I'm semi knowledgeable about some things. Oh, man. Was that squeaking noise me? Did you hear that?
I don't know. I did not hear that.
I sounded like a door squeaking open.
Oh, yeah. You're like,
What is that?
That was good.
Anyway.
That was good.
Not good for podcasts.
You could do Foley effects.
Yeah, I'm going to do like, some. You could do Foley artist. This is a door creaking open.
I would love if you just like did a bunch of Foley effects, but like it was clearly you. Like, it was clearly your mouth the whole time.
Oh, man.
That reminds me of, like, Whose Line Is It Anywhere? Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Whose Line Is It Anywhere in the World?
They could do that virtually now. But, like, when they had to do the sound effects for a scene and they would do that, they would, like, they would do, like, a door opening. They'd be like, It's a good show.
Such a good show. Anyway, what was I saying?
You were saying that Perfect Symmetry came out after Hopes and Fears.
As I said from the start, Hopes and Fears was first. But Perfect Symmetry, which came out after Hopes and Fears, is an absolute banger of an album, and I feel like a lot of people slept on it. And go listen to that album. Because I absolutely do still dig Keane. And again, I don't actively listen anymore, but I still think it absolutely slaps. And it's good music, and it does give me chills, you know. And it's good stuff.
Yeah,
it's fun stuff. I love it. it's very important to me. You know, it was like a very important part of my adolescence, I would say.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's funny because I think that this is like one of those weird things that like I got into like the lesser known aspects of.
Yeah.
Where like Somewhere Only We Know was like the most popular song. And I was like, yeah, cool. But have you heard Under the Iron Sea? Like, like, have you heard Hamburg's song? You know? So, yeah, definitely it defined a lot of that time. For me, and I don't know, like, I feel like, you know, you talking about how Tucker only knew Somewhere Only We Know, like, I wonder, this is not a band that I've really discussed with a lot of people, like, I wonder what the majority of people remember about Keane, like, if it's just that one, or if they were like, oh, yeah, like, this band, like, I don't know, that's really interesting to me, and it also proves that, like, for a lot of our adolescence, you and I were in this weird bubble where, like, stuff that we liked was, like, very popular, and then we just would ignore everything else. And, like,
if you
talk to other people, they're like, what the fuck are you talking
about? No, we were very into kind of obscure things, you know? Like, that's kind of our vibe. It's, like, that we were very into, we weren't into popular stuff. I remember when Lady Gaga started becoming a person on the scene. We were both like, blah. We're both like, could not care.
It's true. I did not like her. I feel like we were into stuff that like was popular, but then we would get into like certain aspects of it that weren't, or like it's not like now Invader Zim is like a cult classic. Like apparently a ton of people loved it at the same time that we did, but like it just wasn't like as big, you know, like I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, I think it was big when we were watching it to a certain extent with a certain amount of people, but like no one was listening to it with the director's commentary,
right? Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Like,
no one was turning on the director's commentary to that shit. We were sitting there watching hours and hours of Invader Zim with Jonan Vasquez. Jonan Vasquez, which is how we used to say it.
No,
Jonan Vasquez.
That's how they said it on the commentary once.
That is how they said it. Truly, that commentary has affected my life very deeply in ways that I will never truly understand. But I do think that it is, you know, like we did get into aspects of things. We went on deeper dives with things. And that's, you know, I have to say that is something that I don't really do as an adult as much. I feel like that's something that we would do together, you know, and like as an adult, I don't really. And this is something that I've really taken out and examined about myself as a human, is that like I'm a person, like I tried traveling by myself. I don't really like it because I like having somebody to go on adventures with. It's just like not as fun for me by myself, because I want somebody there to like laugh about something with, to discuss something with, to like, you know, like going to a museum by myself is fun. You know, it's good. It's entertaining. But like going to a museum with someone else where we can be like, look, like, you know, like I can point something out to you and be like, look, that guy, you can see his like bulge in his pants and it looks like a banana. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then we can laugh about that for 7 hours. You know, like that is way more enjoyable to me than me just like going and seeing that in a void. Like I want my immediate response is to like want to pull somebody in on this like fun that I'm having by myself, you know? Not too many people. I don't like rolling in a crew. I wrote this joke the other day that was just like, I don't understand people who like roll in a group of people, you know, like the people that are always with a group of people, like the same, you know, those groups of people that move as one. So you think you're just like, their names are like John, Ashley, Sarah, and John, another John, you know, it's just like, they're all together. So it's like their names might as well be one name, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what deep secret are you all keeping together? You know, what have you all done that like you cannot be parted? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you have to keep an eye on each other like that.
Definitely a blood pact went down there. A murder happened like, there.
A murder happened. And like they have to be keeping that secret together. But it's just like, but I don't do as deep a dive as I used to with you, because it's just like, you know, if. Like Tucker's not generally into the same stuff that I'm into,
right?
And so like I'll go on weird deep dives and try to be like, oh, I found this weird thing, and like I think and try to explain it to him, and he's like, uh-huh, and I'm like, well, this isn't fun. This isn't fun for me.
No, I feel you. I feel like I've definitely lessened on that. I mean, I still kind of in a certain way do deep dives on things. If I really get into it, I'll want to like, especially like television and movies, like I'll want to know like every aspect of it. But I feel like that's like now that's more of a like from a creative point where I'm like, well, how did they shoot that scene? And where did that actor come from? And like, how was the like chemistry on set? Like, you know, I want to know that sort of stuff instead of like, I don't know, whatever weird shit we were getting into.
Yeah, we would get into some deep, weird shit.
And that's fine. And I think, I don't know, I guess that, yeah, now I'm sad because I'm like, I feel like that's something that you just do as a kid that you really don't as an adult, but it kind of goes away just naturally.
I don't know necessarily that it goes away. I think our generation too, apathy became popular. Apathy became the thing that was like, if you showed any sort of excitement about anything, like somebody could stamp on it. And so then it became dangerous for any of us in our generation to show enthusiasm, you know, for or excitement for anything, because people would shit on it. And like, and that's the thing that I, you know, that I'm glad that that's changing in society, where enthusiasm now is like very attractive to people.
Yeah.
Because apathy, and that's my least favorite trend in comedy, too, is this like apathetic, you know, irony, you know, it's all irony and it's just, it's all apathetic. It's not, there's no like joy in it. And it's just, it's so funny. It's so funny to be a stand-up comic and to watch people just be apathetic on stage. And sometimes it's funny, you know, it can be very funny, but it's also like, man, we are in a business of bringing joy to people, you know?
Yeah.
And we're up here being like the most like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, just like, what the fuck?
Well,
what are we all doing?
Yeah, I think trends come and go. And like that, I think that was just a trend. And like it can be funny. It can, people can do it well. Stuff like that never lasts. You know, I don't think I was really affected by the apathy trend because for most of my life, I have lived in my own little fucking world, which, you know, has pros and cons. But I think that was just like a weird trend in our culture that was like overblown by like hipster culture, quote unquote, of like the 2010s. And
yeah,
that sucks. But it's you know, things come and go in everything. So I think that's a stupid trend that will go away.
It is a stupid trend. It is a very stupid trend. But I do think that, you know, like that has stopped a lot of people from going on like deep dives of things, you know? And I think that enthusiasm is coming back now, which I think is great. I think TikTok culture is all about going on deep dives, you know? It's all about like enthusiasm for a subject or a random thing.
Mainly my takeaway is that like, just like something and enjoy it and go on as deep a dive as you want, but like definitely don't be overzealous about it and don't base your whole personality on it, because you're more than that. Like looking back on like stuff that I was obsessed with as like a teen and stuff and just basing my whole personality around it, I'm like, now as an adult, I really feel like that's so damaging. Like, and I get why it happens, because you don't fucking know who you are at that time in your life, but also like, there's literally nothing wrong with being yourself. I don't know how we got here.
I don't know either. Keen really took us on a journey.
But that's, I feel like
is
that's...
Is this what you meant? Is this what you dreamed of, you know?
I also, the other thing I had to, I kind of was like reflecting on with Keen is like, music just hits so different when you're an adult and like, I guess it's because it's like it's adults writing it. And like when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, this blah, blah. Like, oh, this totally relates to like how that boy didn't look at me or like how I got a 62 on my math test. But like when you're an adult and you're like listening to these lyrics, like they hit so hard. You're like, oh, fuck, I know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like it
is crazy.
It really hits different. And that is like something I think that really struck me while I was re-listening to Keen, that I was just like, oh my God, fuck, yeah, dude. Like, totally.
I know. Well, it's so funny. It's like when you're a teen listening to this stuff, because your emotions are so powerful when you're a teenager.
It's true. It's
you're
true.
A preteen teenager. It's you've got such powerful emotions.
Especially if you're you.
Yeah, especially if you're me. In specific, I had very strong feelings all the time. I did. I mean, like, let's not lie about this. I had very strong feelings. How many movies did I cry to? How many movies did I cry to, Grace?
I was just about to tell this story. Remember when we went to go see Horton Hears a Who? And you cried.
I cried. I cried when Katie, what was it? Katie, I think her name was Katie. She like started floating. I don't know what the fuck. There was like something that happened at the end of that movie that made me absolutely bawl. And I stand by it.
I just remember remember, like, we were in the theater, and I just look over, and tears are streaming down your face. I was like, Georgia.
Yeah, no, what happened is you looked at me, and you're like, you cry at every single movie. You cry every single movie we go to. No matter what movie we watch, you are crying.
It's true. It's true, but you did.
I did cry at every single movie. I'm not going to deny it. I still do. I cry at a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I had a lot of feelings.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was that girl in Mean Girls who was just like, who didn't go there. I didn't go there.
Yeah.
I had a lot of feelings, yeah. But I didn't go there.
And that's valid.
I feel like when you're a kid, you have a lot of emotions, you know, that you don't know how to deal with. And it's just like the highs and lows of being a teen are, I mean, I don't know how any of us got through them. They were crazy, like all those crazy hormones we were going through when nothing was really happening generally, you know, in our lives. It was just like crushes. Yeah. It was like school stuff. It was day to day. Nothing compared to what I go through now, you know, like if I had to do taxes at 16, I mean, fuck, you know,
that's why you don't have to do taxes.
Yeah. Generally, some people still do because, you know,
yeah. Well, yeah. You know,
but like, I mean, it's just like your emotions are so high, but you don't understand them yet. You know, like you have this idea of love, but you don't understand what love is. And so I still say that I will never experience love I'll never experience like puppy love or a crush like I did when I was in like sixth grade. You know, it's just like where your whole body was like bursting out of its seams anytime anyone like touched you or said hi. Your crush said hi, and you were just like you could explode.
But that's not real.
No, it's like, not real. And that's the thing. And that's what I'm getting to is like, that's not a real, you know, like that's not realistic. That's not sustainable. That's not a real feeling. It's just like, that's like the first time, you know, but we had all these strong emotions. We didn't understand them. And now we understand where these artists are coming from that are singing these songs that we like related to as teens for whatever fucking reason, you know? And it's just like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah, no, that is a real emotion that I really feel as an actual and an adult, you know, like I feel it's like all these songs where it's just like, you know, like they mention like death, you know, like the perfect symmetry line where it's just like, and maybe you'll find life is unkind and over too soon. I do find that. I do definitely find that. As an adult, life is unkind and over too soon.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I do have to confess that I was listening to Under the Iron Sea and I had to stop because I started crying. And I think it was like partially because it like really reminded me of like that time, and I was just like getting nostalgic and stuff. But I think it was just like everything was hitting in such a different way. I was like, oh fuck, like I really understand this now, and it's really getting
it's a lot
but I also think I also think that Keane's music in general is like very emotional. Yes. So they definitely hit on really really emotional highs and lows, I think, in a really good way, which is part of like what makes their music, I think, so unique. So
well, Keane still holds up. We still dig it. Two thumbs up. Two thumbs up on the Zoom for Keane.
We went really deep on a lot of topics.
I find that music does this, where you end up talking about a lot of different like feeling related things and not really the music, because music is all
very,
emotion.
Very true.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Anyone who's still listening
this deep into the podcast where we have talked about a million things other than Keen.
But go listen to
Perfect Symmetry and then look at a picture of Tom Chaplin and then watch Lord of the Rings, because he is a hobbit.
Do all of those things in succession.
Do them all. All right. Well, I miss your face.
I miss your face.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. This has been a G-Squared production with your hosts, Georgia Gove and Grace Wilbur. You can find us on all the social medias at Still Dig This Pod. Our producer is Irem Dogan-Kali, and our music is Banana Snacks by Demon Garden. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.